married. She grinned falteringly at her reflection. Joshua was going to be in for a monumental shock when he returned, and she told him the stupendous news. But ultimately he would be happy and rejoice with her. How could he not? And they would be married at the end of the summer, which was as quick as decency versus a swelling belly could allow, when the earth flowers were at their peak and the granaries were full from the second harvest. Her bulge probably wouldn't show, not with an adequately designed dress. Genevieve would adore being chief bridesmaid. There would be huge marquees on the lawns for the reception, family members she hadn't seen for years. It would be the biggest celebration in Stoke County for decades. Everyone would be happy, and they would dance under the neon-red night sky. People might guess because of the speed. But Joshua was going to be her father's business partner in this exciting Mayope venture. He was rich, of good blood. Presumably, how else could he inherit a starship, a fine manager able to take on Cricklade? An eminently suitable, if unusual, match for the Cricklade heir. Their marriage wouldn't be that extraordinary. Her reputation would remain intact, and the Kavanaugh's respectability would remain unblemished. After the wedding they could travel Norfolk's islands for their honeymoon, or maybe even to another planet in his starship. What was important was that she wouldn't have the baby here, with everyone noting the date of birth. Real life could match up to her most fantastical daydreams, with a fabulous husband and a beautiful baby. If Joshua. Always if Joshua. Why did it have to be like that? The Ione Romany caravan stood beside a tall Norfolk Aboriginal pine in a meadow which until recently had been a site for more than 30 similar caravans. Rings of flat reddish stones confined piles of ash, cold now. Grass along the bank of the little stream was trampled down where horses and goats had drunk and people had scooped water into pails. Several piles of raw earth marked the latrines, their conical sides scored with fresh runnels, evidence of last Duchess night's rain. The caravan, a hybrid of traditional design riding modern lightweight wheels, had seen more prosperous times. Its jaunty and elaborate paintwork was fading, but the wood was sound. Three goats were tethered to its rear axle. Two horses waited outside, one a mud-spotted piebald shire horse with a wild shaggy mane which was used to pull the caravan, the other a black riding stallion, its coat sleek and glossy, the expensive leather saddle on its back polished to a gleam. Grant Kavanagh stood inside the caravan, stooping so he didn't knock his head on the curving ceiling. It was dark and faintly dusty, smelling of dried herbs. He enjoyed that. It brought back sharp memories of his teenage years. Even now the sight of the Romany caravans winding their way through Cricklade's wolds as midsummer approached always made him feel incredibly randy. The girl pulled back the heavy curtains hanging on a cord across the middle of the caravan. Her name was Carmitha, 20 years old, with a big, broad-shouldered body which, Grant knew with depressing instinct, would be horribly overweight in another 6 or 7 years. Rich black hair hanging below her shoulders harmonized with dark, smooth skin. She had changed into a flimsy white skirt and loose-fitting top. "That looks fantastic," he said. "Why, thank you, kind sir," she curtsied and giggled effusively. Grant drew her closer and started to kiss her. His hands fumbled with the buttons down the front of her blouse. She pushed him away gently and removed his hands, kissing the knuckles lightly. "Let me do that for you," she said coquettishly. Her fingers moved down to the top button in a slow, taunting caress. He looked in delight as her body was exposed. He pulled her down onto the bed, immensely gratified by her ardour. The caravan squeaked as it started rocking. A hurricane lantern, hanging from a brass chain on the ceiling, clanged loudly as it swayed gently to and fro. He barely heard it above Carmitha's exuberant whoops of joy. After a time which was nowhere near long enough, he came in drastic shudders, his spine singing raptures. Carmitha quickly squealed, claiming multiple orgasms were nearly making her swoon. He collapsed onto the bed, prickly blankets scratching his back. Dust mingled with sweat and trickled among the curly hair on his chest.